A self-styled armed militia continues to occupy a wildlife refuge building in Oregon. The FBI says it hopes for a peaceful end to the occupation. But the story out of Oregon got us thinking about Michigan's history of militias and whether what's happening in Oregon could happen in Michigan. Amy Cooter is a faculty member in Vanderbilt University's sociology department. Amy did field work with the Michigan militia as part of her dissertation research. Amy, good to have you on the program.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
We see this group of armed anti-federalists out in Oregon occupying this federal wildlife refuge building. And the question is there, do you think we could see something like this happen in Michigan?
It's certainly possible. There have been active militias in all 50 states for a long time, but Michigan in particular has a long history of its own. I think it's relatively unlikely that something exactly like this would play out within Michigan, though. There's a little bit more faith in the state government in Michigan than what we're seeing happening right now in Oregon, for example. And as you said, the anti-federalist element here is very important for understanding what's going on.
So to help us understand this, could you do a compare and contrast for us between groups like the Michigan militia and what we may see in Oregon or other states? First of all, how do we define militia? How do you define it?
So that's an interesting question, and there's a lot of debate over this. For me, a militia is a group of people who are armed, who practice with firearms regularly, and who meet not just for training purposes, but also to discuss political and other ongoing events.
Okay.
There are similar groups that do different things. A lot of them don't actually have that training component. And from what I'm seeing, actually, a lot of the people involved in the Oregon incident don't right now. So it's debatable whether the militia label is really the best fit for them. But we'll go with that for now.
Yeah, we were even kind of saying self-styled militia.
Right.
Yeah.
Even in one of the CNN reports I saw, it seemed like Mr. Bundy himself was even saying, I'm not sure we're actually a militia. So that was an interesting twist on that, too. But within that general framework, there are groups that we call millenarian and groups that we call constitutionalist. The constitutionalist tends to be the folks who do believe that we should follow the Constitution to the letter of the law. But the millenarian groups tend to take it a step further and think that things are kind of more urgent, more pressing, that they need to enact something, whether it's violence in some cases, whether it's a protest, to make the government pay attention to their needs.
So would, for example, the Branch Davidians, would that be an example of a millenarian group?
Yeah.
Okay.
We would typically think of the groups like that, the ones that end up in the news, as being much more likely to be the millenarian groups, whereas in fact, the majority of the militia movement is the other kind, the constitutionalist kind, who kind of keep their nose out of this stuff.
So Michigan's militia, does that come under the heading of being more constitutionalist?
Yes, it does. There are both kinds of groups in Michigan, but the brunt of them are the constitutionalist variety.
How much coordination, Amy, happens among militia groups in the various states?
Less than you would think. Across state lines, militias tend to contact each other some. They stay in touch on Facebook and other message boards and lend a lot of moral support to each other. But by and large, militia groups operate independently even within a given state. They sort of set their own local community agenda and really try to stay out of other states' business because by their definition, what they're most interested in is their own backyard, their own community.
Yeah, fair enough. So why is it some states have more militia groups than others?
I think that a lot of it has to do with a particular state's history, their trajectory into politics, how they relate to the federal government, and also what particular local issues are happening at any given time and place.
So it can be regional, it can be economic, historical, all of the above.
Yes, I think so.
Well, let's talk about the history of the Michigan militia. When did it really begin to take root, and what were the reasons?
It really first started around 1994 in the wake of several different events, including Waco, Ruby Ridge, and the Brady Bill. Different groups started popping up about that same time who were concerned about different things the federal government was doing. They ended up coalescing under the leadership of a handful of people and forming what we now know as the Michigan Militia. They went through a series of changes, and today's iteration looks quite a bit different than it did in those early 90 days, but that's what the legacy is.
Okay. And I do recall that Oklahoma City bombers Timothy McVeigh and Terry Nichols of Lapeer, the word came out when all of that story broke in April of 1995, that they may have attended some Michigan militia meetings before blowing up the Murrah Federal Building. What did militia members think about that? Admittedly, tenuous link, but it really pushed them into the spotlight.
Right. Well, interestingly enough, it does appear that McVeigh at least attended a couple meetings. And members today who were around back then say that they were initially very skeptical of him. And some people even say he was asked to leave one meeting because of some of the stuff he was spouting. I don't have any way to confirm or deny that objectively. But regardless of how involved he was or was not, I do think his presence shaped Michigan's militia specifically in some ways that other states haven't seen. Because of all the fallout that happened from McVeigh and from the Oklahoma bombing, I think militia members in Michigan today are much more careful about getting involved in certain events, making sure they really understand who the players are, what their motivations are, what the consequences might be before they get involved in some big picture actions relative to some militias in some other state.
This harkens right back to what you said earlier, that this militia in Michigan, being more constitutionalist, they want less government, but they're not anti-federal government per se, so we might not expect them to be doing the kinds of things we're seeing in Oregon.
That's exactly right.
Now, are we seeing membership in Michigan's militia grow or shrink or remain static?
It has grown in recent months. Militia membership across the board is one of those things that's kind of cyclical. It will grow in response to various, even federal-level, political currents. So, for example, even without everything that's going on in Oregon, we could have expected an uptick today alongside President Obama's announcement about gun control. And then in times when we see Republican administrations in control, or in times when we're not talking so much about guns and other issues that are of concern to militia groups, we often see that the membership declines.
How do members of the Michigan militia right now in 2016, how do they view themselves?
They view themselves almost as super citizens, is the word that I like to use. They really think about themselves as trying to be real Americans, as trying to understand the Constitution and what good citizens are supposed to do to take care of themselves, their families, and their country. They really think that it's their job to watch out for government infringement, even if some of their neighbors are being complacent about it.
What do you think we, the public, who are on the outside, kind of looking at them, what do we need to understand about these groups and the people who are in them?
I think the biggest thing to understand is that these groups are very varied, just like most other kind of organizations that people join when they have a common interest. A lot of the ones that end up on the news who are in trouble, who are doing something that we may not agree with, are not necessarily representative of the brunt of militia members, that we may have to think about our terminology and keep that in mind before we necessarily get afraid of what they're up to or what maybe there is happening in our own community.
Amy Cooter did field work with the Michigan militia as part of her dissertation research. These days, she's on the faculty of Vanderbilt University's Sociology Department. Thank you, Amy. It was great to talk with you.
Thank you. Have a good day.